Let's get straight back to calls on the topic of the role of works in salvation. Dr. Michael Barber now saying hi to Doug in Blooming Prairie, Minnesota on Sirius 130. Hello, Doug.
Hi there. Yeah, see, it seems to me like a purgatory, and somehow being able to show that in the scripture is central to this discussion about, you know, what role do works have. I realize that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're talking about, you know, bad works will be burnt away, but they will still be saved. But then even this Sunday, 1 Peter chapter 3 talked about after Christ rose, he went to prison to those who were disobedient. I believe it referred to it during the flood.
Right.
So how useful is that in trying to prove the point that works, you know, do matter?
Right. The first Peter passage is a little bit more complex because there we're looking at potentially people from the Old Testament. And so here we're getting into the idea of Sheol. And so it is complex, and there is a dispute among scholars about who those spirits are exactly. I think that they are, in fact, human beings. Some people think that these are demons, although that doesn't make a lot of sense. One passage that does make a lot of sense to me, though, is Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, he says, "You have heard that it was said to the men of old, he said, 'You shall not kill.' And whoever kills shall be liable to judgment." But he says, "But I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." And there in the Greek, it's Gehenna. Now, what's really interesting is Jesus seems to be suggesting that if you say to someone, "You fool," you're going to go to Gehenna. Doesn't that seem like a little bit of a stretch? Well, actually, what's really interesting is if you go back in ancient Judaism, you'll see that Gehenna was sometimes a place of the damned, but it was also seen as purgatorial. It's a fascinating thing to study, is the idea of purgatory in ancient Judaism. And, you know, the end of that little statement in Matthew 5 climaxes with Jesus saying, "Make friends quickly with your accuser while you are going to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge over to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out till you have paid the last penny." So here you have the idea of going to some place because of calling someone a fool, but then getting out. Actually, very interestingly enough, a lot of traditional Catholic apologetics has turned to Matthew 5 to show the dogma of purgatory. And I think it's actually very helpful passage to look at.
So are works possible in purgatory? Is that the premise?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to describe them as good works in purgatory.
Because well, in the sense of paying a penny, right? Paying the last penny.
Certainly that's the case. And the idea here is that the suffering that you endure in purgatory is perfecting. You know, in Matthew 5, it goes on to say, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's what salvation is. It's being conformed to the image of the Son, and it's being perfected as Christ is perfected. And we can be perfected as he is through suffering. And if I had more time, which I don't, but I'd encourage you to pick up that book on the role of works, because I look at the whole idea in the ancient world of good works as a credit. And this was very common in ancient Judaism. Suffering was understood as a way of gaining credit, suffering righteously, suffering something with patience in a way that is faithful. So if you want to look more at that, I'd encourage you to check out the book.
It's called 4 Views on the Role of Works at the Final Judgment, published by Zondervan. Thanks for the call, Doug. Let's go to